What's up, guys? MLB Hall of Pretty Good Podcast coming at you with a brand new episode here. And I know on Sundays we usually pick a player, sometimes a moment, a trade, you know, something like that. Just a regular podcast, and that's what we normally do on Sundays. But today, something very special is coming to you guys. For the first time ever, I got to interview a player that we've actually done a previous episode on. That's right. Former Braves All-Star Jair Jurgens agreed to sit down with the show and do an interview. And so today, I'm going to give it to you guys. I didn't want to wait. I'm just too excited. I wanted you guys to hear this because this is so cool. We covered his 09 season. He had a great career with the Braves, and he's actually still active in baseball now. But if you want to know how, you should totally check it out to listen. So I really hope you guys like it. Here is our interview with Jair Jurgens on the MLB Hall of Pretty Good Podcast. All right, guys, special treat. We have former All-Star Jair Jurgens here. Jair, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you. We really appreciate it. And so my first question, let's take it all the way back to early when you were growing up in Curaçao. Mm-hmm. Is baseball big over there? Like, how did you get into baseball?
I got into baseball, one, because my whole family played. My dad played, uncle, cousin was coaches. My older brother played. I think my youth was on Saturday, Sunday on the field. Depends what time my brother played. If it's like a 10 o'clock game in the morning, I will be there by 9 till 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night. And then I grew up on a baseball field, and slowly, I think Curaçao was not found till when Andy Jones really did what he did in the World Series. But before that, we had our first big leaguer. That was Hensley Mullins that opened the gates for scouts to start coming down there. But the thing when the gates really opened was Andrew Jones doing the historic thing he did in the World Series for sure.
Was he a big inspiration for you as you were trying to make it?
He made it look like it's touchable. Like, he made it that we can reach it too, you know what I mean? When you don't see a lot of countrymen in the big leagues, you know, you dream to be there, but when your own countryman that you grew up watching because he played with my older brother reach, it's like, okay, it's a goal that is possible, and the only thing you need to do is put hard work and discipline to it, and everything can happen.
That's awesome. I'm really glad you stuck with baseball because it turns out you had a great career. It looks like it was meant to be.
Appreciate it.
And so my next question would be, in 2003, the Tigers signed you as a free agent. How did they discover you and come into contact with you?
Actually the same scout and Andrew Jones started working as a player's rep. Then I was one of his, prospects. And because he used to be a scout, before, he had a lot of contacts in the game. Then one of his bosses was now the minor league scout director for the Tigers. He reached out and said, I got a picture for you. See if we could go to Lakeland, Florida and do the tryouts, because I was not getting a lot of traction back home. Or the thing is too, I was still in the transition to be like a pitcher. Like I said, some team wanted to sign me as an infielder or something, and only me to pitch. Then they call us, they give us a date. We got on the plane and went to Lakeland, Florida, did a tryout. Faced a couple of minor leaguers and another guy who was trying to go ahead and try out too. And somehow I impressed them, and they gave me the chance to be a professional baseball player.
That's awesome. Were you nervous to make the jump over to the United States full time and leave home, or was it something you were excited about doing?
It made it easier for me because there was a Ruben guy, Robbie Alberto, so I need to give a shout out to him. He helped me really like, you know, get along and know the business, know the ropes, what to do and not to do, be on time, you know, stuff like, and especially like, on the sign, but you know, coming from Curacao, like sometimes the grammar can be out of space, and you know, you didn't want to say a sentence and sound stupid, then but he helped me out for the first couple of weeks. Then when he decided to take it to the house too, because he put me in a good mindset, I was able to navigate it by myself, and you know, and find myself and find my voice too.
That's good. You speak four different languages, don't you?
Three and a half. The Dutch, I understand it, but since I left school, like my Dutch is like not that great anymore.
That makes sense. Speaking about your home country, so you actually have played in multiple World Baseball Classics. Did that mean a lot to you to be able to represent your country?
Yes. When I was coming up, that's when the Dutch program started like putting Curacao and Caribbean guys in the national team. And that's when you can see that the Dutch baseball started taking off. And after they beating Cuba for the first time in the Olympic games, then winning the, I think it was now called the Prime 12 tournament, beating Cuba 1-0. It's always something like growing up in Curacao, you want to be part of it. Seeing guys who came before me and like as pro baseball players and guys you like, you took as role model to follow because we didn't have a lot of guys at that time. And it always used to be, the first goal was to sign, and the second goal is always to put the orange and black on your chest.
That's really awesome that you got the opportunity to do it. You did it three times, correct? Didn't you?
Twice.
Yeah, twice. That's really awesome that you got to do that.
Yeah.
So moving back to the MLB, were you a little surprised when the Tigers traded you to the Atlanta Braves? Was that a shocking moment for you?
Yes and no. It was more a shock for me, like leaving all my friends behind. And that as a baseball player, the teammates become more your family than your own family. But in a way, when after the trade happened, I really, I'm gonna analyze the guy, then I'll analyze the trade. If people remember that year, Jose Guillen got hurt by trying to make a double play. Brad Gardner slid in and tore his ACL. Then in a way, they didn't trust him, I can say. I don't know the real reason, but they didn't trust what they had in the minor league at that moment. And they had a chance to get another all-star player with the Rica. Then I think he had more pedigree in the big league than me at that time. You know what I mean? It was a surprise, but it was an easy transaction when I got here, and you just like playing for the team that you grew up, or your dad is the biggest fan of, and just being a part of history, like being a part of the Braves organization, it's an honor.
Yeah, it was really cool. Once Andrew Jones was gone, you pretty much stepped right in. And so that was awesome to see.
Yes, it was awesome. I wish I was able to get him when he was still here, but it was but we were able to do another historic thing for Curacao, being the first pitcher and hitter facing each other from Curacao. That was a special moment for us and definitely for the island.
Wow, you actually had some success against Andrew Jones too, didn't you?
Yes, I did. It's like, yo, when you're going against a guy, open the door, you know, you want to show respect, but still do your job, you know. But and it was a little bit more special because, like, I know him since I was like five. My brother played with him on the same team back home. I used to be the bad boy for the team. Then I saw him like from being from amateur to evolve to be a superstar in the big leagues.
Yeah, I think I remember a quote you said. It was something about somebody asked you about facing him. You said you can't wait to face him and strike him out or something like that.
Hey, yeah, I remember that. I remember saying, I hope I don't get in trouble saying this too, but, you know, it's like when you cross that line, you know, it's I need to do my job, you know what I mean? It's all about respect, but still I got to do my job.
No, I think that type of confidence, especially in a starting pitcher, is what you need. You can't just be like, oh, I hope he gets a hit off of me, you know?
No. Like, I have a silent, like, confident in myself. When I cry, like, there's people that would know me, like, outside of baseball, outside the field, I'm a way different guy. I'm really shy. I try to stay back out of, like, spotlight. But when I'm on the field, like, somehow, like, I turn a switch and I'm like, I feel I'm the best when I'm on the mound.
I think that's a great attitude that a starting pitcher needs to have, which is why you have found success, I think.
Appreciate it, man.
And so, like a lot of people, I think the first time I heard of you is when you were with the Atlanta Braves. Mm-hmm. You found a lot of success early on in your career. You actually got to pitch in an All-Star game. Does that rank highly for you in terms of your career?
It's always an honor. When you see that so special going on TV and they naming the pitchers, because the pitchers are not voted in, you know, the pitchers are voted in by the managers, and to get voted in like that, it's like it means a lot for me, because a pitcher cannot get in and have a mediocre year. You know what I mean? You got to be on your game to be able to be the part of the All-Star game. And to get the respect from all the other managers and the peers, you know what I mean? All the players I played against in that year, you know, it's an honor.
Yeah, I do like what you said, because obviously it's an honor to be voted in by the fans, but to have your peers, essentially your coworkers, say, yes, you deserve to be in, that definitely would mean a lot.
No, 100%. It's like, you know, it's just a different level of respect that you get or you feel at that moment. It's like the hard work I'm putting in is paying off and everybody's starting to see it.
Yep, definitely. And so after the Braves, you pitch for the Orioles and then you pitch for the Colorado Rockies. So I wanted to ask you, is pitching in Colorado with that higher altitude and working out there, is that tougher on your body than Atlanta or Baltimore?
Yes. I didn't have a chance to be up there a lot, but playing the minor leagues with them was still at Colorado Springs. And every time we came back from a road trip, I would get a nosebleed, you know, and even after the start, the next day, the soreness will be on a different level. Mm-hmm. Doing the sprint, like you feel like you've been running a marathon. It's like just when you're up that mountain, you need to change the way you work out, the way you eat, the way, like everything. You gotta change your whole lifestyle in a way for you to be able to recover as quick as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always heard that it is harder for people to recover up there because of the elevation. And I have heard nosebleeds as well.
Yeah, 100%. Every time I get on the bus, it's weird. It's weird.
Yeah, that would definitely be annoying to deal with.
Yes, it's weird. It's really weird. But, you know, like, I love the time I was with the Rockies. I wish I was a longer span, but you know, things happen in professional sport and sports, and you know, you head up and keep working out.
Mm-hmm. And so at one point with the Braves, you actually tore your meniscus, it looks like. Mm-hmm. How did you do that, and what was your road to recovery like? Was it a tough journey?
I actually tore my meniscus during the bullpen.
Really?
Tore the bullpen and trying to tweak some stuff on my mechanics. The pitching coach at the time tried to suggest to clip my cleats to the rubber, And somehow one pitch, I felt a sharp pain, and then my knee just started swelling up. And the next day I tried to wake up from bed to try to go to the stadium, was not able to walk. The rehab was actually easy peasy. I just when I started playing the next year, the year of the All-Star, somehow after a start, we got on the plane, and that's when my problems started kicking in, and my knees started swelling up. And I think me and the coach and the medical staff lost control of the swelling, and that's when my problems started like kicking in, like health-wise. Just too much swelling, and trying to be a hero, a warrior, try to pitch through it, caused a lot more issues. Mm-hmm. That at a point that I had no quad muscles for a couple of years. Yes, I was not able to even sit down for 2 minutes and just stand up. And there's a lot of stuff that happened that a lot of people don't know that I really don't like to, you know, touch base, because I don't like pettiness for nobody. Mm-hmm. But it's just what happened behind the scenes that people don't know that, you know, not let me like continue with the career that I was supposed to have and I know I was able to achieve in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can understand that. Definitely frustrating. It's got to be tough.
It's for grinding to all this year and still like be able to play professional athlete, be a professional pitcher. I don't think a lot of people would take my journey. I think a lot of people would like retire. But you know, I love this game too much, and you know, the thing I say to everybody, if my body can listen and behave, I know I can be one of the top pitchers in the world. But you know, everybody has their luck, you know, everybody need to carry what they have and just somehow try to make the best of it, and that's what I've been doing.
I really like how after all this success you've had, you could have packed it up 5 to 10 years ago and mm-hmm. dream of that career, but you still have a love for the game of baseball, and so you continue to do work with it. I think that's really cool.
Appreciate it. It's like, you do it like I do it for myself. I'm not doing it for any glory, you know, and I just want to enjoy the game. The game, like, as people don't know, like, professional athlete window is really short, mm-hmm. you know. Then for me to, you know, because you never know when everything can click, you know, everything can click. Look at Rich Hill, like, you know, so many surgery and something clicked and got a chance. Then, you know, and I'm gonna try as much as possible till my body tells me, like, for sure, like, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. I keep doing it. And, you know, now having a family, and seeing my kids, watching me work, like, everything in the world, like, you gotta.
And so this actually does lead me to my final question. We've hinted at you still being active. Could you talk a little bit about Baseball United for anyone who's unfamiliar? Because I've read up on it and I think it's really cool.
And again, you broke out a little bit.
Oh, sorry. So we alluded to you still being active in baseball. Could you mm-hmm. tell people who are maybe unfamiliar about Baseball United some? Because I think it's really cool.
Baseball United is actually a league that came up. You say last year, that's why it came up really on the scene for everybody. But the CEO, the majority owners, Cash, been working behind the scene with his group, with John Medrick and more people. Like, I want to not mention everybody, but the whole Baseball United, they've been working behind the scene for a couple of years now. And I heard this like a couple of years ago, and I saw some guys I follow on Instagram that posted. I'm like, oh, let me see this. And I asked them one, like, what's this about? This is a league in Dubai they're trying to come with. And actually, when I reached Baseball United, I was reaching for a company I'm with, that's Dream Glove Co., that to be a partner, and partnering up with them, and talking to John, that's the cash, like, right-hand man. I said, like, look, if I have a chance to play, like, I would be honored to be part of that, too. And suddenly I got a call from him to see if I wanted to be part of it. I still want to play. And I said, yeah, and, like, be part of history and try baseball to the Middle Easter and trying to keep growing this sport that I love and give me a lot of my success and blessing in life. And 100% I will try to make other kids happy and enjoy this game. And we got lots of problems coming. Like, we're trying to make this league actually a league that people is gonna respect. Then we're working behind the scenes to, like, we can get our first season tournament this year going. But like 2 weeks ago, I think we signed a deal with the Saudi Arabia Baseball Federation used for our company. It's working. We're just working and try to bring more baseball all around the world. And another thing too, especially for guys in my case that get into the retirement, then can still want to play and still has the qualities to go out there and do a performance, can still have a uniform on. Because after you take it off, it's hard to put another one on. Then it's amazing league. The whole crew behind it, it's a baseball players run league, you know what I mean? It's amazing. Family feeling to it, especially with the last the showcase last year was amazing. Everybody was pushing for each other. Like, it was just amazing. Being a part of this is a blessing. You know what I mean? Being a blessing, being a part of other superstars, all-star, Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer, you know, legend of the game. It's just it feels like I'm starting a new career. You know what I mean? And it's amazing.
Yeah, this isn't just a league with no names. It's got, like, you, yeah, Elton Simmons, like, plenty of multiple names people will definitely love.
Yeah, 100%. And the thing is too, like, I want the people to say, oh, they're just playing like old retire or almost retired player. No, this league is gonna be good because it's gonna be a mix of veterans, guys who play in the big leagues now, playing in Mexico or independent ball or Japan, gonna be part of it. And we're gonna have our prospects. You know what I mean? That's the goal of Baseball United, to be able to give kids from countries that that scout don't go see often or don't know even they play baseball a chance to be on the big carpet with all these big leaguers. And I think seeing the reaction of these guys being around us and be able to take a picture or just even talk to us, it's like remind me when I was growing up in Curacao and seeing all the big leagues and seeing Andy Jones hitting the two home runs on TV, you know. And I think to ask you one of your question, I think that one need to be one of the best feeling. Try to see that you bring in happiness to somebody else. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I always think more baseball is a good thing. So to expand the game like you guys are doing, I think it's wonderful.
I appreciate it, man. Yeah, man, we try to be not get away from the tradition baseball like you've been going down here, but still make it exciting for the fans, put a good quality games out there, and you know, and just have fun with it.
That's awesome. And that was actually my final question. So Jared Jurgens, I just want to thank you so much for doing this. I appreciate it.
No, man, anytime. I appreciate you coming out and inviting me on your show, and then keep doing what you're doing. I'm seeing you doing a good thing, man. And anytime you need me, let me know.
Thank you. And I really can't wait to see how far you and Baseball United take things. It's awesome. Keep it up.
Thank you, bro.
Thank you. I hope you have a good rest of your day.
You too, my man.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, guys, I really hope you enjoyed that interview with former All-Star Jair Jurgens. I just want to take a minute and give him a huge thank you. You know, these guys, they're busy. They have their own lives, too. They don't have to give us any second of their time, but they do, and they're great sports about it. They always take the time to answer any question I have. I really, just a huge thank you to Mr. Jurgens. I hope you guys enjoyed it, and I also want to thank you for listening and giving this show some support. You know, it's really cool to be able to get some of these players on. I hope you've enjoyed these interviews. I didn't think in my wildest dreams we'd be able to get anybody on, but we're starting to get some traction, and I really appreciate it. Thank you guys for listening. And if you're new here, I hope you enjoyed this interview. We're trying to do more of them. You can also check out old episodes and look for new ones twice a week, usually on Sundays and Wednesdays. There's a new episode out, so be sure to check that out. I hope you guys have a great weekend, and once again, thank you for listening. This has been the MLB Hall of Pretty Good podcast. Bye, guys. Have a great week.